like to introduce a new initiative within What's on Your Mind. A new endeavor, so to speak.
Okay. A little project, maybe?
Yeah, it's a little project.
Okay.
And what it is an opportunity for the people to speak on a particular issue. And by people, I mean we the people. Right? We the people. Going back to the founding fathers and those that said, we're going to speak for the people. Enough already of the king ruling anything. No monarchies, we the people, right? So here's my we the people question today. We'll do these on the air, and we're also going to do some of these in the form of we the people parties. You know, we have a little, you know, it's not a COVID party. No, it's a we the people party. Some people will call them COVID parties, of course, because it's a, oh, you're getting together. No, we the people decided we're going to come together. Anybody that is concerned about getting COVID, they would just stay home. That's kind of how it works. If we'd have thought about that from the beginning, there'd be a lot less economic harm and need for a PPP and, you know, everything else. So, the We the People poll question of the day, the online We the People party, is simply this. What should schools do this fall? What should schools do this fall? And let me ask you another question to follow that up. Who should decide what schools should do? Now, let me give you my thoughts for just a short minute, and then I want to take your calls on this. Or you can send a text at 701-367-2054. 701-367-2054. Minnesota and North Dakota schools are waiting for guidance from the state on this. And I guess that would be like best practices. And we have talked to Governor Burgum about this and Superintendent of Public Instruction, Kirsten Baszler, about this. Kirsten Baszler, I think, wrestles with the fact that there's a lot of superintendents. She's not said this to me, but my sense is there's a lot of people that want her to make the decision or want the governor to make the decision, because then they can go to their school board or they can go to their parents and say, that's what the state. But that's not why you pay superintendents a lot of money. You pay superintendents a lot of money to make decisions for the best education for your children. So in my mind, no governor should decide. I mean, a governor could decide, oh, it's a really cold day, let's just close the schools, make it easy, fine, whatever. But not this. Not will kids be in school learning and getting the best overall experience, the best thing for their mental health, their social well-being, or will they not, is not a governor's decision. Number one, it's a parent's decision, followed by a school, are we going to open, are we going to not open, followed by, you know, the superintendent, the school board, saying, what does that look like?
Bring back the PTA. Let them decide.
Well, yeah.
Remember the PTA?
Yeah, I do.
What happened to the PTA?
I think the PTAs are still around. But, you know, again, there's just so many, there's so much bureaucracy in it. It's just.
And the DOE then.
Doesn't make a sense. Moorhead, Minnesota did a poll of their entire school family and all the Moorhead schools. 75% of the parents said, want the kids back in school. 25% said want the kids back in school, but only if the proper precautions are, you know, you got whatever, distancing or whatever, and then like two.
Right.
And then, I don't know, it was like 23%, or there was a couple of percent in there that said absolutely no how, no way, don't want my kids back in school. And that's fine. I mean, again, that parents ought to decide that if you're very concerned about it. Maybe you've got a student that's got health issues or whatever. Then, of course, you'd want to protect them. Here's the thing that I don't think anybody talks about. Risk and reward. Risk is to say kids are back in school. Could somebody get it? Could somebody bring it there? Could they give it to a fellow student? Could they? That's a risk. There's no doubt about it, okay? On the other hand, of all the categories, they certainly are the ones that perform best, you know, to not get it or be asymptomatic or, you know, whatever. I mean, of all the health groups we got to worry about, kids, students, is low on the risk category. All right. So, would you risk keeping them home and having subpar learning, mental health issues, social interaction issues, disruption to the family economically because of, okay, I've got to work from home one day. Does my husband do it the other day? How do we do this? How do we manage this? And you're essentially homeschooling. It isn't all on teacher, student. The parents got to monitor what's being done and by when and all that. No. Kids should be back in school. Kids should be back in school, and superintendents, very well-paid superintendents, with the guidance of elected leaders, should decide. So, the We the People poll question, this fall, knowing what we know now, are kids back in school? And every school is going to do that a little different. I've heard some say, you know what, back in school with no social distancing because that's a logistical nightmare. Obviously, we're going to be smart about this and do all the proper protocols, but there's going to be kids closer than 6 feet to each other. Or distance learning, educational learning. What's best? You tell me. Open our schools with no restrictions. Schools stay open. Each district should decide based on parents' wishes. I think it should be nominal and normal and accommodate people that are scared. Yeah, I mean, if you are concerned and want some special provisions, absolutely. But that's no different than the schools do all the time. The kid with learning issues or emotional issues or whatever, the schools do that. So that's three votes for yes, three or four. I lost track there. No school equals no pay to teachers equals no money to Democrats. Well, there are a lot of teachers that are tending to play the union card here. In my mind, fine. But if you don't want to teach, you don't want to come back to school, you're concerned, that's fine. Let's just take a year absence. Right? Or however long absence until you want to come back and teach, but you're not going to get paid. Mike, traveling Highway 2, tell me what you think in our We the People poll today.
We're out of school. I got one daughter left in college. She's going to go into the nursing program shortly, but I think there'll be some good come out of this in the long run with homeschooling some of the kids. I don't know if it's so much a subpar education because there's a lot of liberalism and indoctrination that even starts in grade school. And I think we're going to find out that we've been throwing a lot of money at these schools for a lot of years and not get much at all out of it. And that's kind of where I have to weigh in. I mean, I think it's going to change the education system and change, maybe not permanent, but it's going to change everything for a long time.
Change it how? Change it. You started with saying it might, and in the end, be good. What do you mean? Change how?
I mean, it'll be changed how we're, maybe we'll be needing less teachers, less enrollment, less tax money thrown at the education system. There'll be less money that's thrown at different programs that aren't necessarily necessary, but they're good to give the kid an experience of school. But I think we're looking at probably a future of overall changes that's going to take place, and I don't think all of them are for the good. There's going to be some for the bad, but overall, I think it'll be for the better of the students. I mean, the schools do need to open eventually, and probably will open eventually, but it's opening people's eyes like me to what's been going on in the school systems and everything.
Mike, listen to this a second. This is Betsy DeVos on your funding issue. The Secretary of Education, he was on with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday yesterday. President Trump has threatened to cut off funding to schools who don't return this fall, just to your point, which I think is the best way to force change, right, is the almighty dollar to say, here's how you should do things. Here's what she said about his plan.
American investment in education is a promise to students and their families. If schools aren't going to reopen and not fulfill that promise, they shouldn't get the funds. Then give it to the families to decide to go to a school that is going to meet that promise.
Right? Does that make some sense to you, Mike?
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. That would basically ensure that the money going to schools is spent on education. A lot of it's spent on bureaucracy. Bureaucracy and programs and buildings.
Right, that don't necessarily equate to good learning for kids. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Others, welcome. 800-228-0550. Take the We the People poll today. Should schools reopen with kids, or should it be, here's the choice, schools reopen, obviously proper recommendations followed, or keep them at home, distance learning? You tell us. More after this.
Rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard. I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, hey, I'm a doing all right. Yeah, I think I'll make me some homemade soup. Feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced. No, I'm just doing all right.
A great day to be alive, rather?
Why's that?
The lunch pressures of PetroServe USA.
Oh, there you go. Buddy, I got to tell you, on the way home Friday, I stopped in Glendon.
Yes.
Had a little meatloaf dinner.
Oh!
That was fantastic. I got to say, it was really good. She's like, you want gravy? I said, yeah, I want everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Load it up.
Load it up. I love it.
There was a line, man.
Of course there is.
There's a line for that lunch. It was fantastic.
PetroServe USA, the 12th Avenue North location in Fargo. There's a lot of industrial activity up there, so that's a good place. You go in there. There's a nice line. I go there a lot actually because I can chit chat with somebody. Of course, Valley City is I-94 and exit 292 in Valley City. Today, beef tips and gravy. Some of your gravy there. Scalloped potatoes and ham on special in Valley City. Tater tot hot dish in Harwood. Who doesn't love tater tot hot dish?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And they have the tater tots a little bit crunchy, so it's just perfect.
Perfect.
They're not mushy. They're a little bit crunchy. Fargo 12th Avenue North location today, Salisbury Steak, and also tater tot hot dish at West Main Avenue, West Fargo. All lunch specials come with two sides and a bun. Visit PetroServe USA for more information. The home of the 4-for-4 special. Remind me, what do we all got going today? I should tell you what we all have going on. We have the CEO of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library next hour. A project I am, as you can tell, excited about. I have been from the get-go. And everybody that I interact with, for the most part, is also excited about it. A few folks didn't totally understand the request for the support from the state. You've got some pretty significant donors, some nationally known donors who are fans of Teddy Roosevelt. And they didn't like the fact that there wasn't a Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Museum. An effort was underway to put it out in New York. And thankfully, some folks here said, no, it should be here. And so then the question was, is there a commitment to it in North Dakota? Is there a commitment to this? And so Governor Burgum proposed an idea where the legacy fund, based on the tenets of the legacy fund and what it was designed for in big legacy projects and infrastructure and whatnot, said, you know, how about $50 million is used for that? Well, that didn't go over so well with the legislature. And so they ended up taking out, so there is a $50 million commitment from the state, but it's in the form of a loan that has to be paid back partially, and also some other dollars that didn't happen in the way of a grant. It was that basically you can use this. We're going to put this in a fund, and you can use this for the operations. So the interest on the 50 helps operate the facility, and that's how the state checked the box. Nobody wrote a check and said, here you go, $50 million, use it any way you want. Now, mind you, as soon as they were able to come up with $50 million, and again, through this unique, creative way of using the proceeds for the operation, that triggered, you know, the effort to go out and find $100 million so they can have the initial $150 million. Meanwhile, when this is done, we'll have a presidential library, which is not a check-out-the-book kind of library. It is a destination for people from all over the world to study presidents. There's only 19 like it in the world. And the museum that comes with it is one of those deals where, sort of like the Medora musical, if you don't go check that box and say I was there for the year, then, you know, you're not a true North Dakotan. Turn in your North Dakota card. It's that kind of museum. It's just unbelievable. So we're going to talk a little bit about that effort with the CEO of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Ed O'Keefe will be here today. If you have any questions, by the way, on that, as I say, a little bit of misinformation out there on the $50 million. And, you know, I understand people are very, very spendthrift when it comes to funds like this, you know, the Legacy Fund that's our rainy day fund. And, of course, that looks different today than when this was first proposed, given what will come in the next year. But budget-wise, we're not in terrible shape. A lot of states are in much worse shape. But anyway, things will be different, certainly, in examining the proper uses for that going forward. Also, Drew Wrigley will join us on the show today. Drew is the U.S. Attorney for the District of North Dakota. And we're going to talk about Eric Stephen Toa. He has been charged federally for his part in the riots in Fargo. Why does that matter? Federally, locally, statewide, you know, district court, what, who cares? City ordinance, what does it matter? Well, if you commit a federal crime, generally the teeth to the federal crime puts you in the Crowbar Hotel versus, you know, misdemeanors or things get pleaded down. We saw that with DAPL a lot. I mean, a lot of the DAPL wrongdoers were not North Dakotans, were not South Dakotans, were not people from around here. They were professional anarchists. They were eco-terrorists. And so if you do that, if you jump to protest to protest to protest, you are federally committing a crime. And thankfully, under the Trump administration, they're a little smarter about this. Because guess what? When mommy finds out you can go to jail, mommy might not let you go to the protest anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mommy could say, stay home.
Yep.
You might go to jail.
Lock you in the basement.
Yeah. Mommy wants you to stay home. Yeah. I expected a reaction out of Todd for that one. My mummy.
My mummy. Mommy.
You can blame Donald Trump for that. When he says,
home to mommy.
At one of the protests, and somebody's acting up, and everybody's chanting, USA, go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. How do you balance safety and learning? We're asking a We the People question here today. We the People poll, should schools reopen this fall? Or do you prefer student distant learning? Should the kids stay home, do distant learning again, or should they be back in school this fall? That is the question. Underlying question, who should decide the answer to that? Feds, they say go back to school. States, much more cautious, coming up with 9 million protocols and do this, and if you do that, and if you hold your nose exactly right on your finger, on your index finger, then it balanced on one. You know, or the local school district, or the superintendents who are not underpaid. Have I mentioned that? I'm not being snarky about their pay. They get paid what they get paid because the market pays it. And school boards and school districts say, okay, we're going to do this. But my point is that comes with responsibility. And the responsibility isn't to say, you decide for us, Kirsten Baszler. Mommy doesn't want to decide. You decide for us. Governor, you tell us. No. Doesn't work like that in my mind. So you tell me. Let's play. Does it have a cut number on it? It doesn't. Health versus health. You see that one there?
I'll just turn you up. You can play.
Betsy DeVos. Do we have to go to a break already?
Oh, man. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, my gosh. That felt like 30 seconds. When we come back, Betsy DeVos, then more of your questions. A lot of text on this, too, as well. I'm waiting for somebody to say they shouldn't be in school. Here's somebody that said, I agree it should be up to the individual districts. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. More of your input. We the People poll today. 800-228-0550 after this. The only way to save this country is for we the people to retake the reins. Look how quickly, go back and think about when you first heard the term coronavirus, Wuhan flu, China virus, whatever you first heard it described as. Okay? Think about that. And then think about how quickly you said, oh, I'm going to shut my business down. Oh, I'm going to stay home. Oh, I can't do that. I mean, we were sheeple. And I'm not trying to have the 2020 vision here. Same thing with me. I bought 100% hook, line, and sinker the flatten the curve. 15 days to flatten the curve. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I also remember a good 2 weeks, 3 weeks into it, President Trump saying the cure can be worse than a disease. And that's stuck in the back of my head. The cure can be worse than a disease. Good point. It's like, it'd be the equivalent of saying, how many people are going to die on the roadway? Look that up for me, Kev, would you? Well, how many people die every day on the highways in some sort of a vehicular accident? Okay? And so we say, oh my gosh, blank number of people die on the roadways, so we can't have that. We're going to shut down the roadways.
Nothing. 2016, an average of 102 per day.
102 per day. All right.
Yep.
So we're going to shut that down because we can't take that anymore, right?
Right.
So that's 5,200 a year.
Yep.
Got to be more than that, isn't it?
It seems low. 37,461 people were killed in 34,436 motor vehicle crashes, an average of 102 per day.
Interesting. So, but whatever the numbers. So, you'd say, okay, no, we're not going to drive anymore. And then 102 won't die today. But guess what? Your beef won't make it to the supermarket. And you'll soon starve. Unless you have cattle in the backyard. Which some of our listeners do. But my point is, you just got to think through the, okay, this has got to happen to do the same thing with flying, right? Everything. There's risk in life. And we didn't do that. So I believe with every fiber of my being that we, the people, need to realize what we have in the way of rights, what we have in the way of a voice. And I know there's way more people out there within the sound of my voice that think this way than think that government needs to decide everything for them. I know that. Can't spend this many years on the radio. Since 1986, I've been doing talk radio. Somebody asked me the other day, and I almost fell over when I had to answer. That's a long time. Yeah. First race I covered was Mark Andrews and Ken Conrad.
Oh, there you go.
And Mark Andrews wasn't supposed to lose, but he did, sadly, because he's a good man. Good, good man. And he lost to a guy who said, I'll only run for one term unless I lower the debt. How'd that work out? Yeah. And then in typical Democratic form, the debt wasn't lowered, but he ran again just for somebody else's seat. Yes, I'll run over here because Quentin is, unbelievable. Okay, let me tell you about MyPillow, then I'm going to go to the calls. We, the people, have helped build MyPillow into this amazing company that it is today. And Mike Lindell, who is the inventor, he's the founder of MyPillow, loves giving back to our listeners. Discounts on every MyPillow product waiting for you right now at MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special tab. Buy one, get one on MyPillows, on neck pillows, on duvet covers, which are really good. Roll and go anywhere pillows. Six-piece towel sets. They have beach blankets now and beach towels. Great colors. They're wonderful. They're cheap. Beach blanket normally is $39.99. Use my promo code. You get it for $24.99. It's a huge 40 by 78 beach blanket. Beach towels are $19.99. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials to find out all the buy one, get one offers. Promo code Scott or call them at 800-506-9028. Drew and Alexander, what do you think about schools and are we the people poll today?
Yeah, how you doing? I have 14 kids and from two marriages, and I homeschooled my first 11, and they turned out a whole lot better than this other young academic bunch. So I lived in the D.C. area for 28 years, and we used to joke up there, you know, the best days in the world were when Congress was not in session or on vacation because they couldn't pass any more laws. And being a ex-homeschooler, and I know everybody can't homeschool, but, you know, public school education is one of the big problems in this country. That's why we have all these insane young people running around. They were educated in public schools with the doctrine that those educators teach, no God, no country, no real history, only revised history.
That's indoctrination, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. And that's why if you can homeschool, you need to homeschool your children and not allow these people to indoctrinate your kids.
Yeah, and I always say there's a special place in heaven for homeschool parents because that is an enormous amount of commitment, but it also is a recognition of that you believe that just exactly what, you know, we're told that's your child. That's you're responsible for getting them ultimately to heaven and educated and into the world. So bless you for doing that for sure. And I couldn't agree with you anymore. I also think it's a little unrealistic to think that homeschooling is going to be, you know, widespread where a lot of people are going to do it just the way the world works these days. I'm not saying it's right. And I think we need to do a better job. Like I want to like go undercover in history classes. And I just want to find out what's taught. I mean, how much time is on Washington? How much time is on Thomas Jefferson? How much time is on Ben Franklin and Abe Lincoln, right? And the founding fathers and what they did and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and what happened to all these guys after? It's a story it's never told.
Yeah, and
these people laid it on the line and were lost their jobs, lost their lives, lost money, all kinds of things because they put it all on the line for the United States of America. Do we teach that? I don't know if we do.
Well, I think some of that is being taught, but you know, and you know this as well as I do. A lot of history has, you know, it's revisionist history. They've taken good and bad out, and they don't get the truth anymore. See, the problem with public school is a teacher has 15, 20, 25 students. She has a curriculum, he or she has a curriculum to teach, and there's only so many hours in the day. The great thing about homeschooling is, you know, when I was there in the D.C. area, I lived in the Shenandoah Valley. I took my children to all kinds of museums. And on field trips, you know, I was teaching my children about God-given authority. And so I called the liaison officer at Quantico Marine Corps Base, told him I was homeschooling, wanted to bring my kids down and have them spend the day with the troops. And he arranged it, and I went down and spent the whole day with the troops and my kids, and my kids learned the salutes, the insignias, whatever everything made, and I took what they learned there, and I applied that to the biblical authority I was teaching at home, you know, from a religious standpoint.
Very interesting. Drew, appreciate your call and your passion for educating your kids. You have an interesting statistic there with 11 that have homeschooled and 3 that did not in the comparison, too. That's interesting. Chris and Dickinson, go ahead. You're next.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Let's remind ourselves that the CDC never recommended or required that schools to be shut down. That was up to the governors, and they did it through executive orders. But I think it should be up to the individual school districts, and I think those parents in those districts need to speak up for the kids and get them back in school. And history and civics is no longer taught in schools. It's current events and Marxist indoctrination. But I'll hang up on this new request.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. I'm going to mark you down in that overwhelmingly long landslide We the People poll that's going on here in favor of schools reopening and locals deciding. Thank you. Kevin in Cavalier, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Yeah, I enjoyed your deal about the coronavirus lockdown, and basically goes back to freedom has risks. You know, you talk about driving on the highway. But you said hook, line, and sinker. I was just up at War Road, Lake of the Woods, and on a billboard, I seen a sign, we support our police, sponsored by law-abiding citizens. That's the first sign I've seen in support of law enforcement, which I thought was good. May not be good. I'm saying this because BLM might be up there the next week. Who knows? I'll just hang up. I think that there should be more of that. I mean, Grand Forks and Fargo, this guy, is there any GoFundMe pages for that kind of stuff to put out, you know, yard signs and stuff like that?
Oh, that's great. And that's just a wonderful way to, you know, can you imagine being in that profession every day? You're seeing this garbage in the news. I mean, Black Lives Matter should be renamed Police Lives Don't Matter, because these are the people behind the thuggery that's gone on directed at our police. Just right here in North Dakota, throwing rocks at them, staging their rocks in the right places, and getting people on rooftops with walkie-talkies directing the traffic. And this is how they operate. This is their thing. It's a professional organization. It's very well funded, and it is political in nature. It is, and they hate the police. They hate the police. That's their MO. That's what they do. Don't forget it. Don't cower to this business of, oh, I better say something nice about Black Lives Matter. Of course Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. Every life matters. But Black Lives Matter is using black lives for a political advantage, for a political means. It's ridiculous. Most important question, Kevin, is did you catch anything?
Yeah, we caught some walleyes. We normally go up to the northwest angle. I called in here a while back. We can't get up there because the border's closed, you know, by ground, by the road.
Yeah.
So we fished on the, we went up there by boat, which is a long drive, open water, but we did fish. Yeah, we caught some fish, walleyes.
Good, so, glad to hear that.
All right,
do they have some kind of alarm that goes off when you hit the Canadian line on the water?
I guess they do patrol it. I keep talking to the resort owners up at the angle. They got drones or whatever because there's been a few people been over on the line and in certain places they picked them up. You know, they come and check.
I'm not surprised.
Same old dive, same old wind of the work week drain.
I hate to tell you about my dentist because then it'll be tougher for me to get an appointment, but I need to share him because he is helping people all across North Dakota and western Minnesota. Great story, actually. A Fargo native, grew up here, went to dental school at the University of Minnesota Dental School, came back, bought a practice here. But, you know, younger guy, a couple of years out of school, 3 years out of school, but all the innovation, all the ideas, always something. I mean, it's really, I love sedation dentistry myself because it keeps me up to date without having to, you know, do 3, 4, 5 appointments a year. Just get her done. What do I got to do? Get her done. And if you're done with dentures, he is the guy to see. Somebody the other day told me I just couldn't take it anymore. I see somebody order a steak and I couldn't eat a steak and I just said, I can't do it. So switched her up and did it with Dr. Jeff at Designer Smiles. Complimentary, no obligation consultation. Remember, dentures are a replacement for no teeth, not for teeth. Okay, so if you're done with your dentures, make that call to Dr. Jeff, Designer Smiles. He'll tell you the very latest. 701-298-9400. FargoDentalCare.com. Done right. FargoDentalCare.com or 701-298-9400. GL in South Dakota, Spearfish, South Dakota. For some reason, when people from South Dakota call, they just say South Dakota. Like it's one big, you know, town. We like knowing where you're from. So thank you, GL, for telling us it's Spearfish today.
Well, I'm actually in downtown Sturgis, where the big 80th party will be. And like to invite everyone down to Sturgis for the rally, and
Kevin, there you go.
The Trumpster bus was here yesterday at the big grocery store across the street from where I'm at, Lynn's Dakota Mart grocery store. It's a big grocery store, but it was parked there about 11 a.m. yesterday morning, and I wasn't really impressed as a lefty. You know, I'm a I'm one of the newest members of the fake news media organizations in the country here in over in Spearfish. So, there were two airports in Rapid City for that the big plane could have landed at the Rapid City Airport or Ellsworth Air Force Base, the new home of the B-21 bomber.
Right.
It's quite the
mission that Ellsworth is getting.
The only place the home is in Ellsworth near Rapid City. So.
Well, I'm very aware of that, of course.
That
I think everybody is.
Kristi Noem, our governor, and Trumpster decided to place that new bomber at. It's the home of the B-1B Lancer bomber. So right now, so
yeah, it used to be the B-52, then the B-1B. Grand Forks Air Force Base had B-52s
and B-1Bs for years. Home of Minuteman missiles too.
Yeah,
like your Grand Forks or Minot Air Force Base.
There you go. Well, thank you for the update, GL. Appreciate hearing from Spearfish today. Let me get to some of these texts on our We the People poll. Open up school with no restrictions, says one. Another, back in school, period, no governor or Baszler meddling. Okay. With current guidelines, with potential exposure, 14-day quarantine, how many days would teachers actually get to teach? Also, if kids were off for 14 days, how do you teach them all at the same time? Yeah, well, those are good questions. I think, again, risk-reward, right? Risk-reward. What is the actual risk? Okay, we're going. It's like, you know what guides me related to coronavirus?
What?
If I don't want to get it, I think this came from CDC. The University of Mary has put this in their guidelines for school next year. And it is your best chance, and that's probably the wrong term to use, but your highest risk, if you will, of getting coronavirus is if I'm not, what am I now from you, 15 feet? If I'm nose to nose, no glass, you and I, we're having a conversation, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, you kick out, I forget how many particles, right?
Right.
That come out of your mouth back and forth. And, you know, the vast majority of them have to get in you. You know, so it's the risk isn't, you don't, you know, this is hard. Schools should reopen, says another. Teachers union are going to stop the back to school effort. I don't doubt that. Another texter said, I heard this morning that this opinion author of the 1619 Project, which is a load of garbage, is now being taught in history classes across the nation. I'd like you to ask our head of education and the governor, are they allowing this garbage to be taught in schools, says John in Carrington.
A friend of mine just texted, he said, you should take Scott to Sturgis.
No.
I think we should go, buddy.
Sturgis is not my thing.
Come on, we'll go.
No.
You been?
No, well, you know,
during the rally?
I get upset at 1 in the morning when I get woken up by one motorcycle. One.
Oh, we don't hear motorcycles where we camp.
Yeah, right.
We don't. Ask Steve.
How can that be? If the NFL decides to have a season this fall, says this listener, then the school should open. If you need a person to make a decision, let County Agent Hank Kimball on Green Acres make the decision on school opening.
There you go.
His decision would be just as sound as a high-priced superintendent or government bureaucrat.
I don't know, Mr. Douglas. I think that they should open them school.
Find me a little Hank, would you?
Yeah,
I got to find a little Hank. Yeah. I love it. Brought to you in part today by our friends at Oasis Petroleum, by the way, and we welcome you to call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with your comments. The folks at Oasis Petroleum, challenging times in the oil and gas industry right now, all about turning to the storm and going into the storm and weathering it and come out the other side better. That's what they love about North Dakota. Just call anytime, 855-200-1776.